In this week's parasha, Avraham argues with God over the divine decision to destroy Sodom completely. Avraham and God agree that Sodom is wicked and that terrible things happen there. So what is the basis for Avraham's plea? Why does he resist God's plan to punish and overturn Sodom? What are Avraham's arguments as he tries to stop the city's total destruction? The entire debate arises from a moral and interpretive question embedded in Avraham's bold challenge, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" Avraham's arguments begin with a call not to kill the righteous. Will you sweep away the righteous along with the wicked? Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth be just? Behind Avraham's words lies an assumption. There are people in Sodom who are not wicked, and it is impossible to destroy the city without harming those righteous individuals who inevitably live within it. Rabbeinu Bechayei explains the cost of such destruction and presents Avraham's argument to God in these terms. Far be it from you, even in the attribute of justice, to kill the righteous with the wicked. For if you do so, the righteous and the wicked will be equal. Free will and service will be nullified, and heresy will increase in the world. In other words, if those doing right are killed together with the guilty, the very foundation of free will collapses. If choosing good brings no difference in outcome, if the righteous die for the sins of the wicked, then why should anyone choose the path of righteousness? According to this reading, Avraham's argument is that God's intended action threatens the entire structure of human moral choice. Avraham's second argument is that the very existence of righteous people should serve as a reason to forgive. Will you then wipe out the place and not forgive it? This plea that the wicked be spared on account of, or at least in light of, the presence of the righteous defies ordinary logic and human morality. It is a call for God to tolerate, to bear, to accept, or even to absorb evil, to refuse to let the wickedness of others dictate God's response. In essence, Avraham asks that human society be judged by the merit of those who choose good and justice rather than condemned because of those who choose corruption and wrongdoing. Unkelus, in his ancient Amoraic translation of the Torah, explains that God intends to destroy Sodom in anger. According to this reading of the biblical verses, God is angry, and Avraham is responding to that anger. This reading is reinforced by Avraham's repeated pleas later in the passage, "Please, let not my Lord be angry." Rashi explains Unkelus' interpretation of Avraham's words as a challenge. Will anger lead you to destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suggesting that such a sweeping punishment would stem from wrath rather than justice. Some midrashim even reverse the dynamic, portraying God as the one concerned about God's own anger, who therefore consults Avraham before acting. As it says in Midrash Tanchuma, "Even when the Holy One became angry with Sodom for their evil deeds and sought to overturn it, God did not seal their fate until God took counsel with Avraham." Either way, whether the concern comes from Avraham or from God, the message is the same. Anger is a force that works against justice and righteousness. Therefore, anger should not be the motivation to destroy the city. In the interpretations we have seen, Avraham's plea not to destroy Sodom stems from his desire that humanity retain a reason to choose good and justice. He asks God to tolerate sin, to look at the good within humanity rather than its evil, and warns against acting out of anger. This final interpretation goes further. It calls not only for restraint, tolerance, or acceptance, but for active involvement. The Ramban explains that Avraham expects God to join the righteous people of Sodom, and by doing so, to tip the balance in favor of saving the entire city. Avraham's expectation is that God not remain merely a neutral judge, nor aligned against Sodom, but rather stand with the small minority of good people within it, so that their merit might save the whole. Let's explain. Avraham pushes God to accept that if there are 50 righteous people in the city, it will not be destroyed. Rashi wonders why Avraham begins with the number 50. He assumes that 10 righteous people would suffice to save a city. Since Sodom consists of 5 cities, that would mean 10 per city. But then Avraham proposes 45. How could 45 righteous people be enough to save 5 cities? The Ramban answers, 9 for each city, and you, the righteous one of the world, join them. In this reading, Avraham asks God himself to join the righteous of each city, thus completing a quorum of 10 that could redeem it. What all of Avraham's arguments share is that their focus is not Sodom, it is God. Avraham turns the spotlight on God's decision, God's conduct, and their consequences. In a sense, Avraham asks God to turn God's gaze inward, to look at himself, and in doing so, to see that there is reason to reconsider Sodom's fate. Avraham is in effect asking God, do you wish to govern your world in such a way that the righteous perish with the wicked, rendering free will and moral choice meaningless? Do you want to allow wickedness and the wicked to dictate your actions? Do you wish to act out of anger, a force that blinds from seeing justice? Do you wish to remain a neutral judge, or to engage in the world and tip the scales towards the righteous? Avraham's essential demand is that when faced with evil, we must not forget to turn the spotlight on ourselves, lest we allow wickedness and the wicked to dictate our behavior. His fourfold call, then, is this. In the face of great evil, search for the good that surely exists. Do not let anger rule, do not let wickedness define your actions, and have the courage to draw near, to join with the righteous who are surely there. Shabbat Shalom.